Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, brewing and barrel aging craft beer since 1988. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
This is Sound Opinions, and Greg, all this hour we are going to talk about great fictional bands. Bands that didn't really exist as bands in the real world, were invented for a particular project or a film, and then some of them did become real bands, like this one. Let's start off by talking about the new album from Gorillaz.
We got the power to be loving each other no matter what happens. We got the power to do that.
We're not a proof world to see me, okay?
We got the power to be ringing the great bell out there above us.
That is Gorillaz with a new track called We Got the Power from their fifth studio album, Humans. It has guest vocalists on it, including Noel Gallagher from Oasis and Jenny Beth from Savages. Of course, Gorillaz is Damon Albarn's project. The lead singer of Blur, the great Brit pop band of the 90s, collaborating with cartoonist Jamie Hewlett, the creator of the Tank Girl comic book. They came together and said, "Okay, you know, we're sick and tired of this MTV stuff. We're just going to create this cartoon band and sort of poke fun, provide a commentary on what we see as the cartoonization of rock and roll."
And I'm going to never forget that first Gorillaz tour. They toured behind a screen with just images of their characters.
Yeah, the whole idea was that it wasn't going to be a real band. It eventually evolved in that direction, however. They have sold multi-millions of records across the world. Albarn has started collaborating not only with Hewlett, but with a multitude of artists from South America, Africa, Cuba, United States, the UK. People such as Mavis Staples, Grace Jones, the great Chicago house vocalist Jamie Principle, Vince Staples, the rapper, they're all on this record. Here's a track from it before we review it. It's the Grace Jones track. It's called Charger from Gorillaz on Sound Opinions.
I am the ghost. Everything is all to get it. I just don't know where I'm getting it from. Jaw, what is the cause of it? And when in the case, and do you know that you're wrong? Jaw, what do you say now? Don't you get deep as the fire is grown? And then, jaw, what did you do in it? I could you race it up? I'm not British, don't you go to jaw.
Okay. That is Charger by Gorillaz with the great Grace Jones on vocals. Greg, it's great to see her back in the spotlight. The story in interviews that Damon Albarn has been giving is that he had this idea for a new Gorillaz album, and all of the collaborators he was bringing in, many Chicago names on this record, he gave them a fictional hypothesis about 2 years ago and said, imagine a world where Donald Trump is president. It seemed like a long shot at that time. What he's got here is this dystopian fantasy that some would say is now reality. It's a political album in the same way in the past he has given us entire albums imagining a universe of garbage, an environmental future where there is no environment left, basically. He is now giving us an album about politics where it's a dark vision indeed. That having been said, this is the most fun dark party album you're likely to hear since Gorillaz' last album. You know, some of these grooves are just entrancing. There are a little bit less pop smarts on this record.
But I, you know, I'm second only to Brian Eno. I'm sorry, there goes the bell. I am just a huge Damon Albarn fan. There's very little he's ever done in his career with Blur, with his solo albums, that I haven't loved. I think his ability to bring people together from all different artistic genres and to somehow come out with a cohesive sound, maybe it's that, you know, they say Sgt. Pepper was the Beatles wanting to step out of being the Beatles and have the freedom to create under a different alias. I think, you know, Albarn with Gorillaz does much better than Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. This is a buy it record for me.
Well, I don't think Gorillaz has ever made a record that to me was less than worth hearing at least several dozen times. It's one of those groups that rewards attention. There's a lot of detail and there's a lot of brilliant cameos. It seems like Albarn understands what these artists can deliver and gets the best out of many of them. In this album in particular, I'm a huge fan of the fact that he brought this new artist, Benjamin Clementine, this English composer, poet, multi-instrumentalist on board for the track Hallelujah Money. I think that's a real key track on this record. He's channeling a little bit of a certain president.
And I've thought the best way to protect our tree is by building walls, walls like unicorns in full.
I also love the way that that pairing of Mavis Staples and rapper Pusha T works on Let Me Out. Brilliant move on Albarn's part to bring back Jamie Principle, one of the great artists of 80s Chicago, on Sex Murder Party. Vince Staples does a great job on that song, Ascension.
You are now tuned into the tomb of Jehovah. Play my tunes loud enough to shake the room. What's that hold up? Heard the world is in it soon. I assume that they told you they trying to dinosaur us. So now it's time to go up.
Which sets the tone for the record. The sky's falling, baby.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the tone of the record. We're dancing on the ashes of what is you know, coming to be one of the great turning points in human history, it seems like. I got to say, though, the We Got the Power to Be Loving Each Other track, you know, with even with Jenny Beth's guest vocals on it, the duet between Damon Albarn and Noel Gallagher does not work.
No.
Liam, Noel's acerbic brother, compared it to that Mick Jagger, David Bowie track, Dancing in the Streets in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's wrong, but I will give this record a buy it rating.
Greg, reviewing Gorillaz latest got us thinking about some of the other great fictional bands in rock history. You know, there have been other bands. We're going to try to stay away from the real obvious ones, Spinal Tap or the Ruddles. Where are you going to go first with your first great fictional band?
Well, when I was thinking about fictional bands, I'm thinking of ones with really long histories. I mean, Gorillaz have already been around for 15 years, but I've got one that's like doubled that amount of time.
Really?
In the music business. And
there's so many one-hit wonders,
well,
flashes in the pan.
How about the Muppets House Band, man? Dr. Teeth in the Electric Mayhem.
Yes!
The performances on the actual Muppet Show are absolutely priceless. I mean, Animal's the greatest rock drummer of all time.
Absolutely.
I mean, John Bonham's pretty good. Animal is a genius.
You combine Bonham with Keith Moon and then go up to 11, as Spinal Tap would say, and that's Animal.
They would do things like they would take little bits of classical music because they would always have these puppets that were classical snobs, and they would be looking down on anything that had to do with youth culture.
I believe you're thinking of the two critics up in the box.
Yes.
Who we are dangerously coming close to resembling.
Yeah, they would always have the black ties on, and they would be very, very condescending about the performances. And, you know, so they would do things like Chopin's Polonaise and A-flat to appease the critics, but then, of course, just destroy them with these punk rock versions, Animal yelling, Chopin! Chopin! But the mayhem that the Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem created was just marvelous. The performances were actually done by Jack Parnell and his band. It was an in-house band in the UK where the show was initially shown, I guess. And they did these marvelous performances. And then the puppeteers, Jim Henson first and foremost among them, would do the voices. Henson was the leader. He was Dr. Teeth, who was loosely modeled after some combination of Elton John and Dr. John. You know, he's got this deep kind of growly New Orleans type of voice, you know.
Shocked I am at how much you've thought about this.
Well, it's an amazing, assemblage of talent. What can I say? The greatest virtual band of all time, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Here is Sweet Tooth Jam on Sound Opinions.
All right, everybody, let's jam! 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 Come on, animal! Jam! Oh, yeah!
That is Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, the Muppet Show house band with Sweet Tooth Jam. Jim, I dare you to top that.
Well, maybe later, but right now I'm going to play one of my favorites, Sex Ba-Bomb, all right? I loved Scott Pilgrim versus the World when that film came out in 2010. I had not been familiar with the graphic novel. I went back and read it after the fact. I'm not the video game generation, man. It ended for me with Tetris. And maybe Pac-Man, okay? I'm just not a video game obsessive, but I think the way that Scott Pilgrim dealt with the levels of virtual reality as he tried to win the love of his life and had to fight all the evil ex-boyfriends, and in between, play in his band. The band is Sex Ba-Bomb.
Okay, let's start with Launchpad McQuack.
That's not the actual title of this.
Steven Stills on vocal and guitar, Kim Pine on drums, and Scott Pilgrim on bass. The soundtrack for this film was incredible. We had such an array of unlikely talent, Beachwood Sparks and Black Lips. There's T-Rex songs, but there's also Metric and the Rolling Stones. And all of the Sex Ba-Bomb tunes were written by Beck. All right. They're all brilliant. I love all of the music in this movie. I especially love Beck channeling this thoroughly kind of mediocre, late teens band. There's nothing special about Sex Ba-Bomb, except for the name, you know, which comes from a combination of the Flipper song and the Tom Jones song, and apparently references a Super Mario character that I don't know about. I'm going to play my favorite song from that soundtrack and the Sex Ba-Bomb canon, which is Garbage Truck, written by Beck on Sound Opinions.
I'll take you for a ride. I'm a garbage truck. Oh no. I take you to the dump. 'Cause you're my queen. Take your time. Show you the sights, you know you wanna ride. I'm a garbage truck. Truck, truck, truck. We'll pass the mansions by. Drive right through the needle's eye. Oh my. My, 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 my. I got a stereo. You just gotta turn the knob. Maybe we'll go as far as we can. I'll be your garbage man. I'll take out your junk and I'll crush it down. Jesus in my rear view, and the highway patrol is up ahead in my garbage truck.
Garbage Truck by Sex Bob Om. I mean, that is just the hardest name to say ever. From Scott Pilgrim versus the World. What do you got? You got another great virtual band?
I don't know how great it is, but this is a real guilty pleasure of mine. I have always loved the movie Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story.
Yes.
The 2007 movie starring John C. Reilly. Reilly's one of my favorite actors. And channeling Dewey Cox, channeling Johnny Cash in this movie. It came out only a couple of years after that Cash biopic, Walk the Line, with Joaquin Phoenix. It was a fairly straightforward attempt at reconstructing a part of Johnny Cash's life. What Walk Hard is trying to do is not only tell the Johnny Cash story, but really kind of a mini history of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Because you go through all these eras. So Dewey goes through from his Johnny Cash phase to his folk protest singer phase to his I'm a Brian Wilson, I'm a genius phase, creating this record with goats singing on it, meeting the Beatles and the Maharishi and hanging out with the Beach Boys. And then he goes through his punk rock phase. And then later on, his music is sampled by hip-hop artists, so he makes a big comeback. What we see Dewey in the scene that I'm going to play a song from is in his pill-popping Johnny Cash, Vegas-era Sinatra, Hollywood-era Elvis phase in the 60s, very decadent. His career suddenly, after an initial spark of hits, is starting to fall apart. But he's still writing music that is speaking to what he's going through in his life, and it's just hilarious. There's a track called Guilty as Charged, and I should point out that a number of the musicians that played on this record are really top-notch studio pros in Los Angeles, people like Joey Warrenker on drums, Greg Kurstin on keyboards and guitar. So the music is top-notch. The songwriting is very good as well. There was a fellow by the name of Mike Viola of the Candy Butchers, the band The Candy Butchers, as well as Dan Byrne writing much of the music. Marshall Crenshaw contributed to the songwriting. So they're basically recreating periods of rock history with these songs. And here is the decadent mid-60s phase of Dewey Cox in Guilty as Charged on Sound Opinions.
May I approach the bench? I don't give a damn what anyone thinks. I stay up all night and I smoke and I drink. I'm a wanted man and I'm blowing town. Don't waste your time trying to hunt me down. The cops are saying I belong behind bars, and I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. I ain't never lost a fight in my life. I'll send you home crying to your fat and ugly wife. If you don't believe me when I tell you this, well, let me introduce you to my rock hard fist. If you're accusing me of living too hard, well, I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged.
Guilty as Charged from Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story soundtrack from 2007 on Sound Opinions. After a break, we're going to have some more music from some of our favorite fictional bands. And later in the show, the story behind an unexpected worldwide hit from another fictional band. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.